From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia, Korea, CIPOA can raise Indonesia, South Korea trade to $30 billion in 2022. Creative economy is targeted to contribute 9% of Indonesia's GDP in 2020. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Kim Chang-bom will promote his country's culture, tourism and traditional food in the five Indonesian cities of Jakarta, Cirebon, Brebes, Solo and Surabaya. Minister of the South Korean Embassy in Jakarta, John Jo-young, revealed the event entitled Korean Fan to Java, known as Teko Nang Jawa in Japanese language, will be carried out for 6 days from September 2 to 7. Minister Jo-young said during an exclusive interview with Antara at Wisma Antara Building in Jakarta on Thursday that the ambassador will lead a delegation tour to each of the cities and will hold various events to introduce Korean culture. Kim Chang-bom and entourage will travel over 1,000 kilometers from Jakarta to Cirebon, Brebes, Solo, and Surabaya. Minister Jo-young explained the event dubbed Teko Nang Jawa was held to promote South Korean culture to separate provinces in Java. Minister of the South Korean Embassy in Jakarta, John Jo-young, believed that the Indonesia-Korea Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IKCPA, will be able to increase trade between the two nations to up to $30 billion in 2022. Jo-young told Antara in Jakarta on Thursday that since February 2019, the governments of the two countries have intensively discussed the CIPA to give maximum benefits to both sides. He said both countries are expected to sign the Indonesia-Korea CIPA during the 30th ASEAN-Korea Commemorative Summit to be held in South Korea in November 2019. Earlier, Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita expected the Indonesia-Korea CIPA to be concluded at the end of 2019. According to data from the Central Statistics Agency, BPS, total trade between the two nations reached $18.6 billion in 2018, with Indonesia enjoying a surplus of $443.6 million. South Korea is the seventh largest destination for Indonesia's exports and is the sixth largest source of Indonesia's imports. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and French President François Hollande in 2017 agreed to increase cooperation between the two countries through joint statements on the creative economy. Indonesia wants to learn and collaborate with the digital industry and French cinematography. As stated by Director of Europe 1, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Doni R. Kusnadi, in his remarks at the Creative Talk discussion, learning from the French digital industry and Cinematography at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Jakarta on Thursday. He added that Indonesia targeted the creative economy to contribute 9% of Indonesia's national gross domestic product in 2020.
So there are four or five areas we are focusing on.
For Indonesia, creative economy is an important sector of our economic development. We are aiming for the creative economy to contribute 9% towards national GDP in 2020. That means the 9% out of $1 trillion on 2020. Furthermore, Doni R. Kusnadi said that the creative economy, in addition to bringing enormous economic opportunities, could also strengthen relations between the global community and relations between the two countries. Present at the Creative Talk discussion, learning from the French digital industry and cinematography, our Indonesian ambassador to France, Armanata Nasir, officials from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Creative Economy Agency, and the French Embassy in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia Governor Perry Warjio brought to light three reasons behind the central bank's decision to cut its benchmark interest rate to 5.5% on Thursday. One of the determining factors is the forecast of low inflation rate for 2020. He remarked that the 2020 inflation rate, projected at 3%, is yet below the mid-level of 3.5%, give or take 1%. Warjio elaborated that the second reason was market confidence in the yield of investment, which will continue to remain attractive despite a drop in the key interest rate. He added, it was an apparent from the 2.5% real policy interest rate differential and nominal interest rate differential, while the cover was 4.16%. He explained, if the uncover were without risk premium, it would be 5.74%. The Bank Indonesia's Board of Governors meeting on Wednesday and Thursday reached a decision to reduce its 7-day reverse repo rate by 25 basis points to 5.50% from 5.75% earlier. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said on Friday that Bank Indonesia's efforts to reduce the benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points or 0.25% were efforts to maintain Indonesia's economic growth. Policy will be synchronized by the government, both in present and future fiscal form. Sri Mulyani ensured that the government, together with Bank Indonesia and the Financial Services Authority, which are members of the Financial System Stability Committee, continue to maintain the Indonesian economy in line with global signals. In general, Sri Mulyani ensured that the government respected all Bank Indonesia policies because, in their communication, they want the momentum of economic growth to be maintained. Is Nusa Tenggara Governor Victor Bungtivlu Laiskodat inaugurated a successful framework training center in Kupang City on Thursday. The inauguration of the Framework Training Center was attended by the Minister of Trade, Enggar Chastos Lukita. In his speech, Governor Victor hoped that the presence of the training center could produce qualified and reliable workforce candidates. Meanwhile, the director of the training center, Dewi Sri Hartati, said that she was determined to create prospective workers who were proficiency in their respective fields. The Special Task Force for Upstream Oil and Gas Business Activities, SKK Migas, built the Oil and Gas Center at Andalas University, West Sumatra, Putra Batam University in Riau Island, Riau Islamic University in Riau, North Sumatra University in North Sumatra, and Sheikh Kuala University in Aceh. Head of the Special Task Force for Upstream Oil and Gas, Representative for North Sumatra Region, Afisenia Darwis, in Batam, said on Thursday, SKK Migas will use the Oil and Gas Center as a place to socialize the technical work of oil and gas management to students. The Oil and Gas Center will be equipped with various learning needs, such as in focus, television, and books about oil and gas, like a library. Hong Kong student leaders announced a boycott of college activities for a new lecture period for 2 weeks on Thursday. This boycott was due to the upcoming lecture time to collide with pro-democracy mass demonstration. quoted by AAP, student leaders still want to lead a line of pro-democracy demonstrators who are almost daily on the streets to put pressure on the government. They also threatened to go further if the government was unable to fulfill the five demands of the demonstrators, including revoking the extradition bill, universal suffrage, and an independent investigation into the alleged violence by the police during the protests. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is U.S. ground missile test could trigger military tension with Russia. Well, listener, the United States of America tested medium-range cruise missiles on Sunday, a few weeks after withdrawing from the Cold War era nuclear treaty with Russia, Immediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, INF. The U.S. Department of Defense reported that the missile was launched from U.S. Navy base on San Nicolas Island, California. The missile is capable of reaching distance of 500 to 5,500 kilometers. Data collected and lessons learned from this test will provide information for development of medium-range missile capability for the U.S. Department of Defense. After leaving the INF on August 2nd, U.S. President Donald Trump insisted that his side cancel the treaty because he suspected Russia violated a number of requirements. Russia and China have asked the United Nations Security Council (UN) to meet on Tuesday to discuss statement by United States official to develop and use medium-range missiles. The two countries want to bring together 15 counselors on the agenda to discuss threats to international peace and security. Moscow and Beijing have also asked head of UN Disarmament Affairs Izumi Nakamitsu to urge Washington to reconsider missile development. Of course, the U.S. medium-range missile stance had raised international concern, especially when the United States has left the INF, because the treaty actually bans the development of missiles, both conventional and modern nuclear, that can reach between 500 to 5,500 kilometers. Since the United States disobeyed the INF, some possibilities may happen next. A thorough ban on nuclear tests is an indispensable step in achieving the goal of eliminating nuclear weapons, both medium and long distance. Reports by the international community to place the ban on nuclear tests had been carried out since the earliest years of the establishment of the United Nations UN. In its development, the UN created the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, PTBT, in 1963. This treaty bans nuclear tests in the air, in space, and at sea. Then the Threshold Test Ban Treaty, TTBT, created in 1976, also bans nuclear tests at 150 kilotons, and the Peaceful Nuclear Explosion Treaty in 1976 bans nuclear tests for military purposes. Of course, in general, the world community, and in particular the international organizations such as the United Nations, as the world police, must reach a binding consensus that development nuclear tests of any kinds must be prevented immediately. If not, this will trigger and exacerbate military tension, either international or intercontinent. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program, Today in History. While stopped from an historical event on August 16, 1945, when Rengasdengklot incident occurred. Rengasdengklot event was kidnapping one, which was conducted by a number of youth, among others Sukarni, Wikana, and Hairul Saleh, on Sukarno and Muhammad Atta. Sukarno and Muhammad Atta were brought to Rengasdengklot Krawan, West Java. The incident, which happened on August 16, 1945, at 4:30 Western Indonesian time, has a background the existence of different opinion between all class and rising generation at the implementation of Indonesian proclamation. The youth hoped that on August 16, 1945, Bung Karno and Bung Hatta proclaimed the independence of Indonesia. But Sukarno wanted the proclamation of the independence was held the next day in Jakarta. Finally, on August 17, 1945, the declaration of the proclamation, which was signed by Sayuti Melik, was echoed on Jalan Pegangsaan Timur number 56 in Jakarta. The proclamation was read by Bung Karno on behalf of Indonesian nation. The next event is that on August 16, 1960, about the independence of Cyprus. Cyprus is an island country in the Mediterranean. In the 16th century, the island was overpowered by Imperial Ottoman, and in 1925, England officially made this island as its colonial territory. Since that time, a civil war occurred between Cyprus people of Turkic ethnic and Greek ethnic population that wanted unification Cyprus and Greece. In 1959, England held a Surit conference between Turkey and Greece to discuss the official granting of the independence to Cyprus in order to be realized in 1960. Under such condition, both Turkey and Greece have to guarantee the independence of Cyprus. Finally, on August 16, 1960, Cyprus officially gained its independence under the republic system. And the last event is that on August 16, 1976, earthquake caused tsunami in the Philippines. On August 16, 1976, a small island in Mindanao, the Philippines, was hit by earthquake with magnitude 7.9 Richter scale. The earthquake caused a large tsunami which hit seaside with more than 433 miles long. The residents did not realize the danger and have no time to run away to higher places. Thousands of victims were sucked into the sea. Totally, 5,000 people were killed and more than 2,200 were reported missing and 9,500 injured and more than 90,000 people were homeless. City and province throughout the northern region of the Philippine Sea were destroyed by tsunami, high waves reaching 15 meters. The earthquake was considered as one of the worst disasters that occurred in the country. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Hanya bilik bambu, tempat tinggal kita, tanpa hiasan, tanpa lukisan. Beratap jerami, beralaskan tanah. Namun semua ini punya kita. Memang semua ini milik kita, oh, sendiri.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Listeners, for My Indonesia today, we have a topic, LPEI Range financing seems to support African countries. The Indonesian Export Financing Agency, LPEI, or Indonesia Exim Bank, will provide the best financing and guarantee schemes for all forms of export activities, especially to African countries. This was revealed by Executive Director of the Indonesian Export Financing Institution, Cynthia Rusli, before a number of delegations from African countries and representative of several state-owned enterprises at breakfast business dialogue of the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue IAID 2019 event in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday. Cynthia also explained that to support infrastructure development abroad through a number of experienced state-owned enterprises, LPEI could run a number of financing schemes. One of them is buyer's credit or financing to buyers of Indonesian products or services abroad. In this case, LPEI can provide facilities to African governments as project owners and business entities in the country concerned. In addition, Cynthia Rusli added that her site also provides overseas investment financing and working capital financing to SOEs working on overseas construction sector projects. She added that Indonesia has also implemented a semi-concessional loan facility, namely the National Interest Account NIA or the Special Export Assignment PKA. Africa is also one of the main destination regions of this program. National Interest Account is a soft loan provided by LPEI specifically in the form of export financing for transactions or projects that are commercially difficult to implement, but are deemed necessary to support national export policies or programs. Through the SIMP, LPEI has provided financing facilities through strategic SOEs for a number of projects in Africa. One of them has been given to PT Dirgantara Indonesia for the purchase of CN-235 aircraft by Senegal worth 147 billion rupiah. In addition, this facility was given to PT Wijaya Karya for the construction of housing in Algeria worth 187 billion rupiah. The Indonesian Export Financing Institution, which has assets reaching 118.4 trillion rupiah as of June 2019, will provide the best financing and guarantee schemes for all forms of export activities, particularly to African countries. That's my Indonesia.
Jolak cinta yang manis dalam suratmu. Kau katakan padaku saat ini ku ingin hangat pelukmu dan belai lembut kasihmu. Takkan ku lupa selamanya saat
from Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still in still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce culinary of Banyuwangi, nasi jagung. Listener, if you travel to regions in Central Java, you will find out culinary, namely nasi jagung, a mixture of rice and corn. The culinary, which is well known as nasi empok or ampok, is made from old corn which is separated from its teeth. Then it is dried, drilled, and cooked. The nasi jagung is usually eaten with various vegetables and side dishes. Listener, in fact, nasi jagung is the favorite culinary of Indonesian First President Sukarno. As quoted by a writing of Manggil, former private bodyguard who wrote the book entitled Kesaksian tentang Bung Karno, 1945 until 1967, the habit of Bung Karno's eating is unique enough. From the writing, it tells when Bung Karno ate. He seldom used spoon and fork, and he only used his hand. He also wrote that Bung Karno often ate nasi jagung as his breakfast menu. While eating, Bung Karno only consumed small bowl of rice. The rice was eaten with sayur lodeh or sayur asam, as well as shrimp paste chili dish as Bung Karno's favorite meals. Listener, initially, nasi jagung is consumed as an alternative rice because in the past time, rice was an expensive commodity. In fact, the nutrition in nasi jagung is better than rice. Nasi jagung contains not only carbohydrates, but also vitamin A, calcium, phosphor, thiamine, and riboflavin. The nutrition of nasi jagung can overcome some illness, such as diabetes. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder with the title Culinary of Nasi Jagung. Tomorrow we will meet you again in another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Berawal dari tatap, indah senyummu memikat, memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini. Terbawa oleh cintamu untuk kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku terluka.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, it's nice to meet you again in Miscellany today. We will inform you about the collaboration of Indonesia-Malaysia through Si Juki and Bobo Boy, attempts to introduce Bogor to the world. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Si Juki, a comic character from Indonesia, has a cross-country collaboration with Bobo Boy from Malaysia. This collaboration was launched in August 2019 on a social media account owned by Si Juki. The collaboration between Pionikon and Animonsta Studio is a form of friendship between the two countries. Juki and Bobo Boy each represent comic and animated characters from Indonesia and Malaysia, united in a collaboration. The inclusive content presented in this collaboration is the illustration and special comic Si Juki, Bobo Boy. This collaboration comic is released exclusively on Si Juki's social media accounts. This comic tells Si Juki and Bobo Boy watching together the film Bobo Boy Movie 2. The character creator of Si Juki character, Faza Meong, explained, since it was first announced on social media, it turned out that the response was very good and many people asked about Juki's animated collaboration with Bobo Boy. According to him, this was the beginning of the collaboration and did not rule out the net possibility of other collaborations that would be forged in the future. Monster CEO Nizam Abdul Razak also explained that Monster has done a lot of collaboration that combines characters from two mediums, namely animation and comics. This time it collaborated with a famous millennial comic icon in Indonesia, namely Si Juki. The humor and style elements unique in Si Juki are very compatible with Bobo Boy. Si Juki is a comic character by Faza Ibnu Abdullah, who is better known by the famous name Faza Meong. His anxiety about the development of local characters that are considered less popular in the community motivated him to develop the Juki to be known by wider community. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you, Nick. And also see you next time.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a original song from Bajawa East Nusa Tenggara, entitled Putar Putar Kopi. The song tells about parents' advice in order Bajawa young man to get married immediately without seeing status of his bride, who is still virgin or widow. This is written clearly in its lyric. Putar-putar kopi di cerek baru, biarlah tawar, minumlah saja. Sinyo, siapa ingin cari pacar, biarlah janda, nikahlah saja. Or in English means, stirring coffee in a new cup, although tasteless, just drink. Sinyo, who wants to look for a girlfriend, even a widow, just get married with her. The song is popular among young people of Bajawa because it has cheerful rhythm and often sung when traditional wedding ceremony or Bajawa, and also used to remind Bajawa young people to get married immediately. Here is Putar Putar Kopi.
Janda nikalah saja. Tahu saya.
We'll be right back.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tak sulit mendapatkanmu, karena sejak lama kau pun mengincarku. Tak perlu lama-lama, tak perlu banyak tenaga, ini terasa mudah. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu, biar kita jalan ke depan. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, biar kita jalan ke depan. Aku inginlah menjadi petamu, aku ingin jadi jagoanmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau ada yang memiliki
listener, we end our Togetherness in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English Language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address at voi@vianews.id.